Welcome to the Romantasy Library.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Romantasy Library. I'm your host, Kate Perkins, and today I am interviewing romantasy and romance author Haley Phelan, who wrote This Splintered Sea, which is on submission. I cannot wait to talk more about that book. Oh, my gosh. Haley, she let me read the EPUB, and it, like, I honestly, it's probably one of my top reads of the year. I'm not even kidding. We'll talk more about it. It's fabulous. And then The Love Spark. Haley is an author of adult fantasy and romance novels who dreams about her stories finding homes on shelves all over the world. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay. I'm really, really excited to meet with you today. Haley, I was blown away by your story, but we will get to it. I'm just so excited to talk to you more about your writing and learn more about you and have you on this podcast. And it's also really cool too, that you're local, that we're in the same community, which is really fun.
Yeah. We're probably like less than 10 minutes away from
each other. Just so wild. But yeah, anyway, it's such an honor to talk with you. Do you want to share a little bit more about, The Splintered Sea, and then I don't know much about The Love Spark, so
I'd love to. The Splintered Sea is a romantasy about this woman who has a curse placed on her because she refused an arranged marriage for reasons that, you know, she had very personal reasons for it, and this curse takes away her powers. Keeps her landlocked, which is big for her because she had her home on the sea. And she gets this opportunity to join this competition where the prize could earn her freedom from this curse, but the competition is only open to men. So she disguises herself as a pirate and enters. And the book kind of oscillates between her juggling her life, her normal life, and then this competitor. And it was just so much fun to write. And then The Love Spark was actually, that is my contemporary romance. My agent and I renamed it, and it's still going through edits slowly. I've kind of put it on hold for now because I'm starting another project that I'm excited about, which is also a romantasy. So that one's kind of been pushed to the side for now until my agent harasses me enough to to get it finished. But I love that story too.
That's so exciting. So can you share a little bit more about your process of writing and completing these books and then finding an agent? Like, can't imagine. Yeah.
Well, I got my agent for my contemporary romance back in March, but we decided to put This Splintered Sea on sub first, but I have the same process for both of them where I kind of write a really, really rough outline of where I want the story to go. And then I kind of put it on a horizontal chart. You know, what's the first big thing that happens? What happens in the middle? The climax, all the different things. Those are like the big scenes I'm excited for. And then I go chapter by chapter and write what I want to happen in those chapters. If I have specific dialogue that I really want to make sure I put in there, I'll make a note of it there or I'll forget it. And then I draft it. I think that's my favorite part. Mm-hmm. And then I usually have to take a break after I finish it before I go into edits. And then I will edit it. I have a couple of really good critique partners I'll send it off to. They'll go through it. And this whole process I did before I had an agent too. So then after I finished that, there's a whole process of getting an agent called querying, where you have like a pitch, your synopsis, you have to find comps that would be similar to your book. So I think for This Splintered Sea, I used Serpent in the Wings of Night.
Yes, I was going to say, as I was reading it, I was like, okay, people who enjoy Serpents, the Wings of the Night, whatever, I always get that title wrong in my brain. Anyway,
it's a bit of a tongue twister.
It is a little bit. I love that series. I cannot wait for the third one to come out. But anyway, it really was giving some of that. And I was like, people who enjoy that series is going to love this book.
Yeah. That was a goal because I loved that book. I remember reading it maybe like a year ago or so. And I just thought it was so good. One of my favorites, for sure. Yeah.
But your story is so original, too. I mean, it is interesting how it's like certain, I'm sure, like books can be comparable and be inspirational, but this is wholly yours. And it is.
And that's the hard part, you know, because there is really nothing new anymore.
Yeah.
You know, you just have to find a way to take inspiration from something, but make it completely your own and unique. And I think that is challenging, but it's also one of my favorite parts of writing, you know, because you want to give readers something new, but there is nothing new. So you have to make it in a way that it is.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And you said that drafting was one of your favorite aspects. Is that what you said?
Yeah. I love drafting. I think it's just, it's so fun. It's very low pressure because everything can be changed if you want it to. And with this Splintered Sea, most of it did get rewritten. It was very different, the first draft to this final one. But it's still, it's my favorite part. Yeah.
That's amazing. Okay, so it's on submission now.
Yes.
I want it published like yesterday, which I'm sure, and like, this is not helpful with me talking to you about this because you're like, yeah, of course I want it published. It is so good. I want the world to read this book. Like, I can't speak to how much I loved it. So I devoured it.
Oh, well, thank you.
Your writing style is so, I mean, it's so well written. I just was so immersed.
Thanks. That's the goal.
Yeah.
I'm glad it's coming across that way because I really wanted it to be, you know, propulsive and something that you can't put down.
And that's how it felt to me. I just kept, I wanted to know what was going to happen. And I was putting these different theories in my mind. And the female main character, Briar, is my girl.
Oh, I love her.
I love her. She, her tenacity, right? And like, she's so loyal and courageous. And so it sounds like Carissa Broadbent's Siri kind of helped inspire this series, or anything else that helped inspire it for you?
Well, I grew up loving She's the Man. I feel like that was just such a, you know, iconic movie for our generation. Yes. I love that movie. And I really wanted to, before I had the plot for The Splintered Sea, I really wanted to incorporate that sort of plot into something. I just didn't know what. Mm-hmm. So I finally put it into this book, but She's the Man was actually a retelling of Shakespeare's Twelfth Night, and that's why Briar's ship is named that. So it was kind of a fun way to incorporate that.
What a great nod. Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah. When I thought of that, I was like, oh, because I was trying to come up with names for her ship, and I was like, I'm awful with names. You know, I'm trying to come up with character names, with location names. Now to name a ship, and it has to be important. So that, and then of course, Pirates of the Caribbean really inspired it too. Yeah. I really wanted the setting to feel like that. So, but the setting, you know, setting's not at sea because she's landlocked, but I really wanted it to feel like a seaside town.
Absolutely. And like when the first movie of Pirates of the Caribbean and it opens up with Keira Knightley, like in her, I mean, I definitely can feel that. That vibe.
Okay, good. That's really what I was aiming for. Not so much like the
time period,
kind of not really that where it comes to their dresses and stuff, but kind of.
Yeah.
So it was really fun to, you know, have, I put on the theme music for, you know, the soundtrack for Pirates of the Caribbean in the background. And I think that's going to be like my number one song at the end of the year.
Yes. And that's so funny that She's the Man is one of your favorite movies. That reminds me of one of my best friends from college. We watched that all the time. It was so good.
So good. And I played soccer growing up. So it was
so great.
I love Channing Tatum.
And Amanda Bynes.
Yes.
It's phenomenal in that.
Such a good movie.
And Gouda cheese. I don't know if you remember
right?
that
reference.
Gouda cheese.
I think I could probably
quote the whole movie.
That movie.
That's amazing. Yes. So those were sort of the aspects that inspired you. And how long did it take you to write that book, The Splintered Sea?
Oh gosh. So I plotted it out. I started right after Christmas last year, so 2023, And January 6th, I know the date because I was able to look it up in my draft history. I started writing it of this year.
And 2024. Wow.
Yes. And I had myself on a very tight deadline because I still did not have an agent. Mm. And in my head, I was like, this is going to be the book that gets me an agent. I kind of set the other one aside. This is before I got an offer on it. So I was like, this fantasy book will get me an agent. I felt so confident about it. But I wanted to enter. There's like a mentorship program for unagented writers. And I really wanted to enter that with this Splintered Sea. And there's a deadline for that. I think it was in March. So I was killing myself drafting this thing. But then I did get an agent in March. So, but then I wanted to be on submission before publishing slowed down for the summer. So I drafted, edited, got it all done. We went on submission, I think, June 11th. So from January 6th to June 11th, it was drafted. People read it, edited, rewritten. My agent read it. It was a whirlwind for sure. But
that sounds like such a whirlwind. And oh my gosh, so you did not have an agent. And then.
No, when I started it.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And here we are. It's still like a very much a pinch me sort of thing.
Yes.
Because January me never thought I'd be here in July.
But so. I think it's really interesting that you had that inner knowing that like, okay, this is the book. This is it.
And I really felt so.
That's amazing. As I was reading it, I was shocked like that this is your debut book.
Well, because like, it was my third book I've written.
Okay. So maybe that was some of what I was picking up on because, oh my gosh, everything flowed so nicely. Like it felt like a writer who has had experience writing books.
Thank you.
So I guess that does make sense that this was your third one, but your debut like book that's going to be published or whatever. Go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah. Well, there was a lot of learning that was done.
Sure.
Between when I started it, I learned so much from craft books, from my critique partners, from my agent, because they're just so, it's one thing to be a good storyteller, mm-hmm. that can come easy to some people. Some people learn it. But when it comes to the just sentence writing, there's a lot that goes into it that you wouldn't think of until you see yourself doing it a way that maybe isn't as great as it could be. And that was quite a learning curve. And now I feel like I'm in a very good position to now go help other people, with theirs, because I have some great friends that I'm reading their work and I'm like, okay, this could be a little bit better. And this is why.
Yeah.
I feel like because I was a teacher before I left to stay home with my kids. So it's nice that I get to kind of go back to that.
That is amazing. Yeah. So you're incorporating that love of like educating and connecting with people and teaching, obviously, with your love of writing.
Yeah. And I just love their stories.
Yes. Well, and your sentences, I feel like they felt really, I don't even know if this is a technical term, but like tight. You know what I mean? Like there was like information.
Thank you.
No, like it was, so well done. I don't know like the technical, the mechanics behind writing. I know when I love something.
Yeah. When it sounds good. And that's a big learning curve, making it sound good.
Yeah. And it just flowed so nicely. So it's so interesting that you've had to, it sounds like you really focus on craft and like learning how to write well. And write sentences.
I'm still learning. There's still so much I don't know.
Wow. So, okay, you were a teacher before. What did you teach?
I taught second grade. So, I absolutely loved it. I started my fourth year, I think, teaching second grade. And that's when COVID started. So I finished out that year.
God.
So I was, distance teaching and recording myself teaching.
And you were pregnant.
I was pregnant. Okay, yes.
You said that. We were talking about that before we started recording. Yes.
Yes. So I was like, wow, it was a bit of a mercy that I had morning sickness, but I was able to teach from home.
Yeah.
So it was, it was a win-lose. But then when I had my son, the cost of childcare, my entire teacher paycheck would have gone to it. So I I just decided to stay home. And, you know, being a second grade teacher, I got to be so creative all the time. Mm-hmm. And I was really missing that. So that's kind of when I started writing, because I'd always loved to read. But I needed some sort of creative outlet. And that was
here it. We are.
Here we are.
That's amazing. Yeah. So did you study like education in college then? Or what did you Sorry, I know we're going backwards.
No. You're fine. Undergrad, I was a molecular biology major. So I was on a pre-med path. Decided I maybe didn't want to do that. Maybe I wanted to do research.
Yes.
But I finished that my senior year. I decided I wanted to go into teaching, but it was too late to switch my degree. So I then got my master's in education, and then I went into teaching, and I absolutely love it.
Yeah.
So that I have no literature background.
Wow.
Or English background or anything like that.
Yeah.
I wrote research essays.
Uh-huh. That counts.
That's different.
It is different, but I mean, that's still, you have to, I mean, it still takes writing skills.
Right. Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, what a story. So considered pre-med, and then what was the deciding factor of like, yeah, I don't think this is for me?
Oh,
I'm sure there were multiple.
I don't know if I can really pin it down to one thing. I think I was just so overwhelmed with the classes, and I was thinking like, do I really want this to be, you know, because you go into pre-med and you're in it for, you know, 7 years until you're practicing. And then I didn't know what I wanted to do. So I took one education class because it fulfilled something that I needed, and I just loved it. Mm-hmm. So yeah. And that was a good choice. Ended up being a very good choice. I love teaching.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And then, and unfortunately the cost of daycare is,
oh my God.
It's a crisis. I was just talking to my husband about this the other day. I'm like, I don't, yeah. Anyway, we don't need to get into that, but it is rough.
Yes.
So it sounds like it made sense for you guys at the time, especially with COVID and all the things, to stay home.
All the things. Yeah.
All the things. And wow. So were you postpartum? Is it okay that I ask you that when you started writing, or was it before? Like,
It was postpartum, and actually, when I started writing seriously, my son was just over one,
okay,
and I was pregnant with my daughter.
Oh, God.
So,
okay, Haley,
I don't know, but that was my very first book, the one that will never see the light of day. I might have burned it. I don't know where it is. It was awful.
It's awful, but I can't imagine it being awful after reading The Splintered Sea.
It was bad. I don't think I could look at it. The embarrassment just looking at it would be too much. But I needed to get that out of my system.
Just
word vomit onto
there you
paper.
Go. Yeah. Can I ask, what was that about, that story?
That was a thriller.
Okay.
And it was... You know, it was, I didn't plan, I didn't plot it. I didn't know what I was doing. I just
went with it.
Went, and it went nowhere. But that's okay. That's part of the process.
But maybe it actually went somewhere because it allowed for your journey to this point, you know, and you needed to get that out, right?
Yes.
You needed to do that.
We'll go with that.
And honestly, I think you've found some like excellent footing with romanticity. I have not read the contemporary romance, but holy shit. I hope it's okay. Like, seriously, I cannot convey how much I love this book.
Thank you. And, you know, I think writing the fantasy and the romance, it came to me so much quicker than the plot of my other one. Okay. And I just really loved writing it.
Yeah.
Hey yo, time for an ad. My friend Bree is the proud owner of Miles on Paper. It is an online bookstore where magic and adventure come to life through the pages of indie books. At Miles on Paper, they are passionate about connecting independent authors with readers, and they do this by curating unique blind date book bundles, custom book boxes blind date puzzles, and a remarkable collection of traditionally published books. By the way, their blind date book bundles are so much fun. I had the honor of getting one myself. I highly recommend. You can find her website at www.milesonpaper.com. Check them out.
Yeah. Can you share anything about what you're writing for this? Are you currently writing it?
This next one, I am plotting it right now. I'm in the part where I'm doing it chapter by chapter, and I'm almost done. I'll probably finish plotting it this weekend. But it is about vampires. Oh, and
so different than this last one. Oh my God.
I know, very much so. But I think I have this pattern where I just come, you know, like with She's the Man. Uh-huh. I just cut, like, the most wild things inspire me. But this one, I was watching Shrek with my kids, and you know, and you know how in the beginning Fiona is ogre at night, human in the morning. I was like, okay, well, what if my main character is vampire at night and human during the day, but no one knows? And if the vampires knew she was human, it would be dangerous. If the humans knew she was a vampire, it'd be dangerous. So that's,
oh my gosh, I got goosebumps.
That's where that's going. So I'm very excited about that one.
Very cool. Oh, I'm excited for that too.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
Okay, so no updates really with the Splendored Sea. You're just sort of in this waiting.
Yeah, we're just waiting. Mm-hmm. And summer can be really slow with publishing. You know, people are taking vacation. Mm-hmm. I think it's slow with everything. Mm-hmm. So we're just waiting. Fingers crossed.
Is your agent able to give you like a time frame of like, okay, I don't even know.
she does. For, you know, she said it could be anywhere from a week. Oh, some people it takes a year.
No. No, ma'am.
There's no, you know, it just, there's a lot of steps. Once they get the book, they read it.
Yeah.
And then it has to pass through, you know, other people for it to be approved, for them to offer. So for now, we're just waiting. And she gives me the spreadsheet that she updates when she gets news. And I'm just refreshing that every 20 minutes.
I'm sure you are. I would be doing that too. I mean, this is your baby and you worked on it and you like crushed it. I can't imagine, like, you seriously, you wrote it from like, we're only in July and you started in January, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Wow. And then it's been
this next one might be slower.
Yes, sure. But this one has been on submission for how long now?
Just about a month yesterday.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Who's counting?
What was your process like? This is kind of a really random question. When you made that decision to obviously, you know, stay home because of costs and whatever, daycare, what was that conversation like with your husband of like, I think I want to write?
That was, you know, I had thought about it a lot in my head before I did it. And my husband knows how much I love reading. You know?
Sure.
And I had a little baby that would only sleep on me. So I would have my Kindle and I would just read for hours. Uh-huh. So one day I just, you know, I sat down with my computer and we just put the kids down. I don't know. Uh-huh. I was like, I think I'm going to write a book. And he was like, a book? You're going to write one? And that was kind of it. I was like, yeah. And then I just did. And I didn't let him read it. I didn't let anyone read it.
Yeah.
That was pretty much it. I was like, I'm going to do it.
And then you did it. Is that kind of like your prerogative in life? Like, is that something that is on brand for you when you want to do something, you do it? Or?
Yeah, I would say so.
Uh-huh.
But this one was much more of like, I'm going to do it and it's going to be a commitment. And it's, you know, you don't just sit down once and write a book. It, you know, it becomes a habit, or, you know, you have to schedule it in. So.
And how did you do that with kids? How did you schedule? Especially, I will say, like, after having my kiddo, like, and I think we've talked about this, our kids are about the same age, mm-hmm. that like, I can't imagine writing a book after having her, just because I was so exhausted, you know? And like, even at 1 year old, I think she started sleeping a little bit better, but it still wasn't great. And it's, you know, yeah. And you were pregnant with your other one. So like, how did you do that?
Then it was a little bit easier just when he would nap, you know, uh-huh. I could rely on a couple naps and then uh-huh. he would go to bed and I could maybe write for a little bit before I got too tired. But now neither of my kids nap and they will both be in preschool part-time this fall. But now it's very much, I wake up and my husband works from home and he starts work at 8. So sometimes I'll wake up early and write until he starts work and then we'll switch. And then it's the same in the evenings. He'll usually get off and take the kids for like an hour. And I'll get some writing in. When I was writing The Splintered Sea, I was up late a lot. And then I would go to bed and I would wake up before they woke up, you know, because I was trying to make a deadline to enter my book and just really wanted to get finished. It was all I could think about because I love that book so much. So it was all I could think about. All I could think about was putting words down, which is a good sign, but then also it's all you can think about all day.
Yes. So what was that like too? Like, I mean, did you feel distracted then ever at any point with like your family, like being able to navigate that balance of like being so inspired and wanting to write? And I mean, unfortunately, sometimes we have responsibilities, but
And I think every writer can relate to this when they're, you know, really invested into a book where they will just think about it, you know, and I'm not a good person to ask for advice on that because I will frequently just be so deep thinking into my book that everything else zones out.
Or, oh my gosh. Yes. You know, author I've talked to, sorry to cut you off. I feel nearly every author has, I think every author has said the same thing.
Yes. Which,
I mean, you're so focused in the story that it would be hard to kind of, to separate.
Yeah, yes. It's very hard. Like you know, obviously I try my best to be present when I need to be, but if I'm thinking about it, you know, if something that would add to the story pops into my head, like a good plot twist or a good dialogue sentence, I have to write it down. So then, you know, I will furiously type it into my phone so I don't forget, because I have been like, oh, I won't forget that. And then I do.
Yeah.
And then I'm so frustrated.
So good. That's interesting. I think for the first interview, the first interview I did was with Dana Evan, and she talked about like in the middle of the night, like when she would be inspired and like writing it down on these notes, you know, like next to her bed. And I mean, you got to do what you got to do. I can imagine, you know, to keep track of all of these ideas that you have.
For sure. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So then has your husband read The Splintered Sea? Has he read
that? He has not. He says he wants to. My husband, he's not much of a reader. He will listen to books.
Okay.
And so obviously I'm not going to read this book to him out loud. Like every night, a chapter at bedtime. No.
Oh my God. Especially when you get to the steamy scenes.
I don't think you could pay me to read that out loud.
That's so funny. And I definitely want to talk about those scenes because they were like steamy, and the tension in this book was exquisite. Like it was like such great slow burn. And then it was like, whoo, it was so good.
Thank you. But I really tried to make it be like that. Uh-huh. It was a little hard because, you know, she was supposed to get close to this guy.
Yes.
And I wanted it, you know, there is some, I don't know, action between them, but it's not meaningful until near the end.
Yeah, which, oh my gosh, I felt it in my soul. And I even like sent you messages on Instagram, like, what in the world is happening? I felt so bad. I'm like, I am spamming Haley right now.
No, do not feel bad. I feel like every single author wants people to have those reactions to their book.
Just like shouting at you.
Yes.
Screaming. I was screaming. I was like, oh my word. And then there were some points in the book where there were some major plot twists that I like literally screamed out loud. And then my three-year-old was like, she asked me, she's like, Mama, why are you screaming?
No reason.
This book is so good. That's why. How do you feel like receiving these compliments?
I love it. And because when I loved this book and writing it, I loved it. But you never know if other people love it until they read it. And that's such a, you know, you're so vulnerable handing this book over to other people. And you're like, don't lie to me if you don't like it. You know, tell me if you don't like it, because you want that honest feedback. But it's so validating hearing other people like it. And I think as writers, you know, we all want that validation.
Of course. How has the feedback been so far?
It's been really good. My agent loved it. She
has a girl after my own heart. Oh my gosh.
She has expressed multiple times how much she loves it. I've had some friends read it and they love it. So the feedback has been really good. So now it's just, I want everyone to be able to read it.
And letting that soak in, you know, that like, oh my gosh, this dream of yours is coming together. It's happening. Yeah. How did you feel when it like, when you sent it off into submission, like, I would feel like I was going to vomit or throw up or something, like, you know, like just be like, ugh, this is too much.
Definitely. Yeah. Well, cause right before it went on submission, I was at a retreat for my agency. So I got to meet my agent and we went over edits together while we were there. And I turned to her and I was like, when do you think we could send this out on submission? Because, you know, it's getting close to summer, stuff slows down. And she was like, Tuesday. I was like, what?
You're like, I was not expecting that. I was thinking maybe a couple weeks, a month, or I don't even know. What were you anticipating?
Probably a week or two. And she's like, no, let's do it Tuesday. I was like, okay. But it was nerve wracking sending it out. And, you know, I was watching the live updates of people requesting it. So that was, you know. Crazy that is just sitting in their inboxes, you know.
So what were some of your favorite scenes? Well, can you answer that? Some of your favorite scenes to write? I don't know if that would be good.
I'll be vague with those answers. I loved writing the first trial.
Okay.
I guess it's no secret. The Kraken was one of my favorite characters to write in the whole book.
Because I saw your that post on Instagram where it was like text messages with the characters, and the Kraken was one of them. So folks, if you don't know what I'm talking about, which you might not, go to her Instagram, and then there's a really fun post on there about texting with characters.
Yes, I love the Kraken. My friends lovingly call him Squidward, and he has become much less serious after that. But he is one of my favorites. If this is a series, he'll come back. I also loved writing. So Briar has, you know, her best friend, first mate, Thea. I loved writing the scenes where Thea is like flirting with Briar as she is Douglas. I was just like cackling while I was writing it. Thea is one of my favorite characters too.
Yeah. She's like her ride or die. Like I feel they are. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's got spunk and personality and she's so loyal. She's fierce. I really hope this is going to be a series. Oh my gosh. And it was interesting reading like the alternative ending versus like the other ending. I was like, oh my gosh.
Yes. I love the alternative ending. I sent it to my agent, you know, because when you're writing a book for submission, you try to make it a standalone just because it could be bought as one book.
Okay.
Which would also be totally fine. But I kind of just slipped my agent this, like, this is the ending I would like to have. And, you know, it's just the last chapter. And she was reading it. And she's like, yeah, I think so, too.
I think so. Yeah, it makes sense. So the first trial, loved that. Mm-hmm. Love Thea as a character.
Yes.
And I'm sure you love all of your characters, you know.
I'm partial to Thea, for sure. Yeah.
How did it feel? I know I kind of want to talk about some of the steam. We're coming back to that. But how did it feel writing some of those steamy scenes?
They're fun to write. I will admit that with the last two books I've written, I will skip that scene completely when I'm drafting. I will write right up to it and then completely skip it and then finish the book and then go back and write that, just because while I like writing it, I like reading it, but it is my least favorite part to write. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. But once I have it done, I feel good about it.
You're like, it's done. Why is it your least favorite?
I don't know. I just think it's because, like, you really have to think about it. You know, like, where are the hands? What are the hands doing? Oh my
gosh. Everybody's saying that. Yes.
You know, like, make sure. I think the last book I wrote, I was editing it. And I was like, I was editing the steamy scene. I was like, this girl is still fully dressed. And I had to go back and, you know, there's the logistics of it. Uh-huh. That you just have to, and if you're, I feel like I have to, I can't write it. I can't just sit down and write it. I need like a glass of wine. I need water. I need a million snacks. Like it takes me like 3 hours to write and edit and that part.
Yes.
Just because, you know, you're building up to, you know, somewhat of that. And then you just want it to be good.
Yeah.
Obviously. But
yeah.
Well, those take me a long time.
Yeah. I felt like it was like such for the relationship for the characters. I was like, oh my gosh, this is like a huge breakthrough that this happened.
Yeah, because you also don't want
the emotional connection there was like, wow.
You want it to relate to the plot. You don't just want it to happen.
As a writer, like what do you feel like are some of your goals for your future? Like what do you hope?
I would just love to be able to keep writing. I had this fear when I was writing The Splintered Sea. I was like, I don't know if I'll ever write something that I love as much as this. Mm-hmm. And, you know, then I came up with this, I don't have a name for this next book, but I came up with the idea for this and I was like, I think I like this just as much. And, you know, I just want to be able to have that feeling mm-hmm. as I go. Mm-hmm. You know, I never want to write a book and think that this is the best thing I'll ever write.
Yeah.
I think I just want to be able to keep doing it and keep loving mm-hmm. what I'm writing.
And having fun with it and enjoying it and feeling inspired. And
absolutely.
Those feelings that you get internally. And I wonder if it's similar as like a reader as I'm reading the book of like, I don't know. Yeah. I feel so, I'm so into it. My husband's always like, Kate, this is not real. I'm like,
but you don't understand.
I know. I think I just get so into the story, you know, and I love like also like theorizing, okay, what's going to happen next? And then if it, you know, if it's a total surprise, I'm like squealing or I don't know. I can imagine as a writer, it feels similar or maybe even more intense than that, but that you want to continue having those positive feels as you're writing. And
yeah, you want to have those ideas and, you know, those fresh thoughts when you're plotting.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I just want to keep doing what I'm doing.
Yeah, absolutely. And then seeing maybe where the process leads. And I think I told you via Instagram that like, I want this book in every single edition possible. Like I want a special edition. I want a hardcover. I want the whole series. Does that ever feel like pressure though? Like, and I know you're starting this process of like publishing. I definitely heard you say earlier of like, it feels really great and validating as a writer to have everybody love your work. But does it ever feel like pressure or maybe?
I would really think so. Yeah. Because you feel so confident about this first book and, you know, maybe people love it and you're like, well, I have to write something that they'll love just as much next. And especially when it comes to series, you know, The Splintered Sea will be the next book will obviously have the same characters, but it will have a completely different mm-hmm. plot line. And you're like, I want people to want to read that just as much as the first one.
Yeah.
And I think that is a lot of pressure. And I think probably no matter who you are and how successful you are, you feel that pressure. You want the next one to be just as good and just as loved as the first one.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think there is pressure that comes with it for sure.
Yeah. How do you navigate that then? Like, how do you work through some of that pressure?
I have some really close writing friends. I just vent to them and, you know, they talk me off the ledge every time.
Really?
Yes. Yeah.
Like, what are, do you mind me asking, like, what are some of your thoughts that you have that they're like, okay, calm down, Haley, you're great. Or I don't know. Is it like imposter syndrome? Is that kind of what you're talking
very
about?
Very much or? That. And I remember we hadn't gone out on submission yet, and I was texting my agent because the first version of the Splintered Sea was like 25,000 words than it is now. So I cut a lot. I had to whittle everything down. Had to some of the plot was flipped. You know, there was a lot that was changed, and I texted her and I was like, does this read okay? Like, I'm worried I cut so much that my voice isn't in it. I'm worried that it'll sound robotic. And she called me and she was like, I haven't been able to put this down. Like, I love this book so much. And just, you know, that sort of thing where I don't think it's unique to me, because I will have friends say the same thing to me. And, you know, it's just, we're all worried that what we're doing isn't good enough. But that's why it's so important to have friends in the industry, because, mm-hmm. you know, they're there to tell you that it is good, you know.
It is good. Yeah. What would be, I don't know, in your own mind, and this is a hard question to answer probably, but what would be considered like good enough? Like, how would you know, like, oh, okay, this is good enough?
You know, I think writers all have these goals. You know, maybe they want to see their book in a Barnes & Noble. Maybe they want to go to the airport and see their book there. Maybe they just want to see their book on their shelf. Maybe they just want mm-hmm. to create something and put it out into the world. It doesn't matter if anyone reads it or not. Mine, I don't know. I think if you would have asked me a year ago, mm-hmm. my answer would have been, I just want to get an agent and be able to to publish a book, you know. And I think it's hard to step back and, you know, there's that saying, like, if your past self saw you now, they'd be proud. Mm-hmm. But now, like, I really want my book to be in bookstores. Mm-hmm. I want to be able to keep doing this. And I think that's just, and I don't even know if that would make me feel like I've gotten to the spot where it's good enough. I don't know if I'll ever, you know.
I know. That question
isn't that sad?
No, I think that's also like some form of perfectionism where it's like, okay, it's never, you know, where it's like, okay, I got to, once you achieve that, and then it's like, okay, what's the next thing to do, or what's the next thing, you know? And yeah, I think that it is so interesting that you recognize that last year you were like, oh my gosh, if only I had like an agent, then like I would, and you have an agent, it's your book is on submission.
Yeah. And
you're here, and it's, I have a really good feeling for you, but.
Thank you. I really hope so.
And earlier when you were talking about the second book and maybe feeling some of that pressure of like, okay, wanting readers to enjoy it. Like I think being a reader, right? I am reading it also not just for the plot, but for the characters too. And already mm-hmm. I'm invested in the characters. I want to know what happens. So I think even if, you know, I don't know if they're in like a whole different world, I'm still in it, you know, because it's like for the characters, they feel like friends.
And you know, crazy, that's but, the goal. You know, people care about characters at the end of the day. Yes.
At the end of the day, I care about the characters. And at the end of the book, obviously, no spoilers, like I can imagine in the next book, it's going to be a different part of the world of, yes. that you're creating.
Yes, that's the goal. I hope in, you know, if this becomes a series, I would hope to explore the entire setting.
I want that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Was there any part of you that wanted to do the self-publishing or the indie route?
I thought about it. Mm-hmm. I think there's just, I have so much respect for people that do that, because it is not easy.
A lot. No.
You know, a bit more freedom with, you know, you get to choose what your book looks like. You get to choose exactly what you write if you work with an editor. Mm-hmm. I think there's a lot more freedom with it. But then once you have it out in the world, it's all up to you to market it. And I think that's a lot of pressure. I have a few friends that have some self-published books, and they are just, they're amazing. Mm-hmm. Because it's a lot of work. It's mm-hmm. a lot of work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have mad respect for.
Yes.
Well, just writers. Yeah. Authors. Anyone who has written a book, I have mad respect for. And yeah,
it's not easy. You know, it's very, you know, you're just like, here's this piece of my heart. Read yeah. it. I hope you like it.
But it's also similar for you too, though. I mean, there are pros and cons with going the traditional route and the self, you know, the indie route. You know, yeah. you still have a piece of your heart out in the world.
Yeah.
You know, and you're at the whims or whatever of a publishing house,
yeah.
right?
Yeah. And I think one of the biggest differences is traditional publishing, it takes a lot longer. So if/when I were to get an offer, we would get a publishing date that's potentially not until 2026. So it takes a long time. And of course, yeah. editors aren't just working on one project at a time.
Right.
So they, you know, they have a lineup. Maybe your book would do better if it went out in this season. There's a lot of different things, a lot of moving parts to make it into what it is.
Yeah. And so that's interesting that like all of those moving parts then are really up to the indie author, right?
Yeah,
like they're
yeah.
doing all of that.
They're doing all of it.
So either way though, there are moving parts and yes. navigating that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Haley, who are some of your, this is kind of a random question, but who are some of your literary heroes? Like who do you love to read?
I feel like I could go on about this for an
entire hour.
I love
book testing, so just, yeah.
I would say one of my all-time favorites, I would read anything she writes, is Allie Hazelwood.
Oh, yeah.
That she so good. Is so, so funny. Good. Her uh-huh. writing is so good. I wish I could just like call her up and have a conversation with her because I think she would just be hilarious. I absolutely adore her. I read everything she writes. Let me think now that, you know,
I have
all my books in front of me. And I mean, who comes to mind? Rebecca Ross. She wrote
oh my
Divine
gosh.
Rivals. Her writing is incredible.
Incredible.
I'm recently very obsessed with Heartless Hunter by Kristen. I don't know how to say her last name. Cicerelli. Yes. Cicerelli. Uh-huh. Her writing is amazing. It's so atmospheric.
Oh my gosh. That's beautiful. On my TBR. I have not read it yet.
It's so good. And then, I mean, I have like a few friends that their work isn't published yet, but their writing is just so good. And yeah, one that comes to mind, Kelly Beck, she is one of my closest friends. Her book is also on submission. It's contemporary romance. It's called Must Love Goats. And it is so good. I have just,
shout out to her.
It makes me laugh, cry. I felt every emotion reading that book. It's so good.
I got goosebumps.
Yeah.
It is huge when an author, when you feel those feelings, right? Like you are going along with the story, with the characters, and you're responding emotionally, you know, and like you're laughing, cackling, also crying.
Yeah. And we'll text each other talking about our characters like we're friends with them.
Yeah.
So like they're real people. Yeah.
They're real humans. They're real people.
Yeah.
Even though my husband will say that they're not. They're not. They're not. They're not.
They're not.
Who else? Anyone else that you love?
Oh, gosh. I've read T. Harlow's stuff. Uh-huh. Her writing is amazing. Her book covers are incredible. And I swear she just like, she can publish so quick and they're so good.
I know.
Her books are so good. I have another friend. I think her book that came out was self-published, but she's writing another one. Her name is Parker Hum.
Okay.
And her writing is beautiful.
I'll have to check that out too.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll send them to you for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would love that.
I just, in this industry, I think, you know, so many people are so good at what they do. Mm-hmm. And I absolutely love having friends that also write. And I think it's important too, because it can be a very isolating and solitary thing.
It is. Yes. So how do you make sense of like, you know, the authors that like really make it big, like Rebecca Yarros? And like, I mean, I love her writing, but like, how, because it's like, they're wonderful, amazing stories that we read that, you know, I mean, I don't know. That's a whole other level, like Sarah J. Maas,
yeah,
you know.
That, like, don't have, you know, bestseller next to their name, or maybe they haven't had many readers. I don't know. And you'll hear so many times that it all comes down to luck. And I hate saying that, because if someone tells me that I got where I was because of luck, where I have been up until like 3 a.m. learning how to do this right and just, you know.
But it's like, that's what all authors do, I feel like, right?
Yes,
like, but
for sure.
Yeah.
I think,
tough. I don't like that either, because that kind of diminishes it. But at the same time, it's like, we want to validate all of,
I wouldn't say it's so much as luck as it is good timing, maybe. Mm-hmm. And, you know, maybe, I don't know. I wish I had an answer to that, because there are some books I've read that definitely do not get the hype they deserve. And I don't know.
Maybe it's just like whatever's happening with the market. I don't know. And what readers are reading, I'm not sure. I don't know. I was just curious.
And I think with social media, I think sometimes that can really propel a book to the top of, you know, word of mouth is much easier these days. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The power of street teams. I've had the joy of being on a few street teams and being part of a community, especially with like the indie route. And like, I think that makes all the difference too.
Oh, for sure. If you have people talking about your book and loving your book, I think that is a very powerful tool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And then in your stories that you write, I mean, do you tend to pull from personal experience? I know with like fantasy, it's like, how do you even, I mean, you know, because they always say, write what you know.
Right.
And it's like, how do you, what?
Right.
If only this world was real, but it's not.
Well, I think when it comes to that, you know, it can be a completely different world, but the character is going through something that could very well be in present day. You know, like Briar was a little more challenging to write because she doesn't start out, I don't know the right word for it. She doesn't start out not knowing who she is. She starts out as a strong character. So how do you make her a character that people want to root for? And how do you write her growth? So her whole thing was how guilty she feels about making this decision that impacted her entire world. And with the caveat that she would not change her decision if she were to go back. So, you know, there are hard decisions we have to make in life that even despite the consequences doesn't mean we would change our decision. And that was kind of fun to play with going through, and, you know, because so many people's lives are changed because of her, but that doesn't mean she would go back and change her decision.
Yeah.
So not that I've made decisions like that.
Oh my God.
But you know, characters that come to mind, I mean, Violet in Fourth Wing, you know, she's potentially 100%. Weaker. She has this, or her joints are looser, all that, which is very, it's real life
a
too.
Real thing. Yeah.
So how do we incorporate that into this world that doesn't exist?
Right.
You know, it's so fun. Wow. It's fun to play with.
That
and I think
so
that's
fun.
That's why people love fantasy so much, is because there's a small bit that they can relate to, but then they can also escape the real world and, you know.
So like as an author, there's that challenge piece of like, you know, what can be drawing from some of these real life kind of experiences, but also creating this magical world and this system that like people can escape into. Like, I feel like that would be a fun little like challenge.
Yeah.
Like
it's
putting
so
together a puzzle. Yeah.
I mean, I make all the rules, but the rules have to make sense. And I think that's, you know, it's fun. It's difficult, but I love it.
For you, as you're writing these characters, like with Briar and having the reader really root for her and recognizing that she's had a ton of adversity, you know, and some trauma and some, I don't know what the right word would be, but some pieces that are really driving her. This is like a really long roundabout way to get to what I'm trying to say. I love these characters that we can really root for and that we can see this character arc and see the healing, the empowerment. Is that like, what are some of your goals or intentions for these characters? I love asking authors that, but.
So this is all based on if it was made into a series.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, Briar, you know, she has some sort of closure at the end, but she's still dealing with a lot of trauma from loss that I will not go into detail because it's, you know, part of the story. Right. She has this loss.
That would be a bit of a spoiler.
A little, yeah.
A little bit.
And then, you know, with the alternate ending, she is kind of very much on her own now. Mm-hmm. You know, she's going into this new world with, she has no idea what's going to happen. And book two, I already feel bad for her, but book two will be a lot more of breaking her character down.
Ugh.
Which
I mean, in that last chapter, you were kind of, I mean, that was, I was like, fuck, Haley, what are you doing to my heart?
I know. And I feel so bad for her because I love her, but also, you know, you got to earn that happy ending. So book two would be a lot more of, you know, breaking her down a lot more, like making really her really making her question who she really is and who's important to her and loyalty and all of that. And then book three is a little bit more of a question mark. I have it loosely planned out.
Okay.
But that would be much more of her coming to terms with who she is.
Yeah.
And accepting that maybe it wasn't who she thought she was at the beginning of book one. So it's really just a arc of her accepting herself, despite maybe it's not who she thought she was.
I know that you mentioned too, so you are writing the second project about Vampire. So like this Splintered Sea, have you just kind of set it aside while you're waiting? And then you're,
I'm trying to, but what I always do when I'm plotting is I'll listen to music. And if I hear a song that would relate to it, I add it to its own playlist. And I have found myself adding songs that would relate to book two of The Splintered Sea to their own little playlist. And, you know, it's just like I feel like homesick for that book almost and those characters. But I'm trying really hard to put it out of my head for now or I will obsess over it.
Which I'm sorry, I just read the book, so I'm obsessing about it, which is probably not helpful for you as you're trying not to obsess about it.
Yeah, well, I mean, starting this new project that I also love so much helps. It really does because I know once I get into drafting it, I will be really excited about it and it will be easier to wait for a submission.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Yeah, I think I even like – I did text you this like on Instagram, but that song, Who's Afraid of Little Old Me? I'm like, who's afraid of Little Brian?
I know. Well,
in my head.
What's so funny is I had that entire scene written out already. Like the whole book was drafted.
I was wondering. Uh-huh.
Yeah. And I, when the Tortured Poets Department came out, that was my break between drafting and editing it. And I just have that song on repeat now. I'm just like, it's like Briar's anthem, you know?
Yes, it really is. Oh my gosh. You need to get together with Taylor Swift and be like, dude, I've already written this and you came out with this album.
I know. I always like, joke that I'm neighbors with Travis Kelce. Yes. So
if only, but
yeah, right.
They moved. Well, I don't know.
Maybe we'll run into them at Trader Joe's or something.
That's what I was about. Actually, I think, yeah, whatever. Anyway, I think there was a Taylor spotting at like the Trader Joe's in Town Center, maybe? Oh, I don't know.
I think there was.
Maybe not. Maybe I'm like lying.
Yeah, we'll go with it.
Yeah. What are some other songs that have been inspiring you?
There is this one. His name is Tommy Prophet. I think is how it's pronounced. And I don't know what it is. The music is so amazing. It's so atmospheric. It's like, they should be movie trailers. And some of his songs are covers of bigger songs. I think Can't Help Falling in Love with You is one. There's a couple others, but they are amazing. And when I'm writing action scenes, I will put them on repeat because they're so good.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I just, I have to have music on when I'm writing, or it's just too silent. My thoughts are too loud. So
interesting. Yeah. Because I can imagine that there are some folks that like need it to be quiet.
Yeah. Yeah.
To be able to think it through, process it.
Yeah, for sure. I will have it blasting in my ears.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So Haley, kind of like going deeper into your past, where are you from? Are you from the area or?
I'm not. I'm from Nevada. I grew up outside Vegas. I graduated from high school, I went to college in Colorado. And
where did you go to school?
At the University of Colorado in Boulder.
Okay. Yeah. I went to DU.
Did you really? Okay. I lived just south of there one summer in an apartment. That's a really cool area.
Nice. It is.
And that's where I also met my husband. Okay. We moved to Chicago because that's where he grew up, and we kind of just wanted to live somewhere new. Got my master's there. We got married while we were there, and then we moved to Kansas after that because my mom lives here. I have a ton of family here, and I absolutely love this area.
I do too. You know, it's interesting that you just said we moved to Kansas. People from Kansas, like Johnson County, I don't think at least I'm not going to speak for everybody, but I say Kansas City. Like, I feel like you saying like move to Kansas is an indicator that you're not actually from Kansas.
Because you're so right.
I don't know. I don't know. Yeah.
Because where else do you live in Kansas if not Kansas City?
I don't. Yeah. Growing up, were you writing stories a ton in childhood, or was it just reading?
Not so much. I read a ton. I can remember whenever the next Harry Potter book came out, I always got it for Christmas. And I remember I would sit down and I would read it, and I would not stop until I was done.
Just devour those.
Oh, yeah. I've always loved reading.
Haley, this has been so much fun. Like talking with you and connecting with you and learning more about you. And people can follow you on Instagram. Where else? How else can they?
Yes, I am. I'm pretty much everywhere. I'm on Instagram. I am not as active on TikTok, but I am on TikTok. I'm on Twitter. I'm easy to find.
And then you'll be updating those different places, right?
Yes, definitely. As soon as I have something to update with, it will be everywhere.
Well, this has been such a joy and an honor talking with you. Absolutely, this Splintered Sea. I know I've said this so much, but like it is, I think, honestly, top three reads of the year.
Thank you so much. It was so nice talking to you too. I mean, this is such a privilege, such a joy to talk about it.
Thank you so much, Haley. And then I'm going to just keep like getting updates online, and hopefully we'll have one soon about this book being published.
Yeah, so thank you. I hope so too. Fingers crossed.
Hey everyone, thank you so much for listening to this episode with fantasy author Haley Phelan. She is fabulous, so amazing, and I love talking with her. Her book, The Splintered Sea, is one of my favorites of all time, actually. I cannot stop thinking about it, and I'm really hopeful that it will be published. And if it is, I am telling you, it will be a best series. It's so, 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 so good. Gosh, I love talking with her about her writing process, the publishing journey that she's been on, navigating balance, imposter syndrome, and so, so much more. Thank you so much for tuning in and helping to celebrate and promote authors who write fanciful stories that make my heart sing. There are many more episodes to come with amazing authors, as well as deep dives into various writing processes, general life conversations, spacey spice, mental health discussions, favorite tropes, and many tangents, as you guys can probably tell. If you're feeling generous, please feel free to leave a 5-star rating and review. Thank you so much for being here and for helping celebrate these amazing authors. Thanks, guys. See you next week.